America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi, this is Greg Kilstrom. Welcome to Season 3 of The Agile World, where we discuss customer and employee experience, organizational and workforce transformation, and how business can adapt and continually improve in an agile age. The Agile World podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to techsystems.com. To read more about the topics discussed in this show, you can go to my website at theagile.world and read my latest articles, or get a copy of my latest book, The Agile Workforce, now available on Amazon and other retailers. My name is Greg Kilstrom, and I'm the host of the Agile World podcast. I'm excited to introduce part two of a special three-part series about the importance of taking the right platform-based cloud approach so businesses can enable MLOps and realize the true value of AI and machine learning. This series is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Practice Consulting Director at Tech Systems, Ramesh Vishwanathan. Ramesh, first, why don't you tell me a little bit about your background and what you do at Tech Systems?
Thank you, Greg, for having me here. Really excited to be part of Agile World. So, as of my intro, I lead the data insights practice with Tech. So the core focus for us here is helping the tech customers drive transformation powered by data. And this involves helping our customers with their data strategy, you know, cutting across a life cycle from right from the beginning, you know, data acquisition, data management, and right through driving business drivers like analytics, AI, and automation. So that's essentially, you know, what we focus on.
Great. Well, looking forward to having this conversation here. So let's dive in. Organizations are using technologies like machine learning and AI, but they seem to struggle with creating value. Research firm IDC estimates that nearly one-third of AI and machine learning initiatives fail. What makes using technology like machine learning and AI so challenging?
So at a high level, when we kind of, you know, do a retrospective analysis, there are three areas that we feel where people could do better, right? And these are no different from other initiatives that typically organizations drive. So the very first aspect of it is around the value definition and having a very clear defined, problem statement and a definition of value established. And this is, again, as I said, it's no different from any other initiatives that these organizations drive. They would be doing the same thing. But one of the challenges with AI traditionally has been the, ML has been the overselling of technology here, right? So what happens is people have this high expectation, and many a times enterprises, go with the moonshot kind of a goal, and the expectations are really set high, and many a times the investments which they get are also kind of not necessarily justifying the ROI behind the scenes. So I would say value definition and drivers, establishing those well and understanding, you know, what you're going to get back is the number one thing. The second aspect of it is data availability. As you know, ML is all about data. One of the things that, people don't necessarily focus on in the agile world, you need the speed, you want to be iterative. But there are certain feasibility checks that, you need to do due diligence with is, do I have the data to support what I'm trying to solve? And the second aspect of it is, there is a need to shape the data you need to kind of shape it the way the ML needs to consume it. And people don't account for those when they plan these initiatives. So you need to annotate, you need to kind of have certain ways of, doing the data engineering work, which is resource intensive and time consuming, and these are not necessarily thought about. The final piece of it, as we call the last mile, is essentially operationalizing the ML models, taking them from lab to production. So that's one of the biggest challenges that we have seen, where organizations fail to derive the value. They invest a lot, they have a great, a model working in the lab, but then you know they're not able to take it to production and you know get the value or value through there. So those three typically are the key pieces that you know we ask our customers to focus on.
Can you talk a little bit about the machine learning lifecycle as it relates to data? What's going on behind the scenes so that an end user can gain insights from the data?
I'll probably start out by saying that, you know, ML models are essentially representation of a data world. So data is you know, you cannot have a ML model without data, and you know it's kind of what the code is, right? So four things that you know I would say from a life cycle of a ML initiative. The first aspect of it is, as I said, defining your problem statement, having a very clear definition and a value prop associated with what you're trying to solve. That's step one, and that kind of leads you to the step two, which is experimentation and build out. And that's where you think about what data you need and how to collect it, right? And how to shape it. And then that would lead to training and testing of your models. That's the build out phase. And many times, you know, where the pitfalls are, you know, from a generic notion of ML is, you know, throw the data at an ML model and it should speak, you know, some kind of a result out. But in reality, if you really look at where the industry trends is, you need to know your data, and people are kind of going from ML to, you know, machine learning to machine teaching, where data plays a very important role. So knowing your data and you know, building it out. So that's the second step of, you know, your life cycle of ML. The third aspect of it is operationalizing the ML model, which is working with your technology partners and seeing how you can integrate your ML model into the process itself. This could be as simple as having an offline, you know, report. Just to throw an example out there, you know, let's say you have an ML model which helps you with your buyer specs and buyer tastes, if you will. You could use that as an offline reporting, and a marketing team probably could consume it for running their campaigns and you know, targeting their campaigns at a, you know, right segment. On the other hand, it could be more online embedded. I'm sure, you know, each one of us has been through, you know, the stalking recommendation algorithms that run on all these sites, right? Where we are continuously stalked and, you know, recommended. So it could be on the other end, you know, very well embedded. So that's the aspect of operationalization of a model, right? And it doesn't stop there. The fourth aspect of it is in maintenance of the model. So the data world is, you know, pretty continuous and pretty dynamic, and it keeps changing. So one of the things to realize is as the data changes, as the world changes, your models tend to drift. They drift away from, you know, where they were, and they're not going to give you accurate results. So monitoring your models, you know, to kind of validate the drifts, and then kind of going through the life cycle again of retraining them, revalidating them, and redeploying them. So that's essentially, you know, the life cycle of ML model before it can, you know, really start showing value.
Let's talk a little bit about MLOps. So what exactly is machine learning operations, and how do you define MLOps?
So in core terms, if we just, you know, look at the way data science has evolved, right? Data science was more of a function, a research function. And we have evolved and you know, started utilizing that more, you know, to be more of an operations function. So I would say, you know, MLOps essentially represents a framework that helps us take data science from being more of a research function to being more of an operations function, right? In other words, it's a framework helping make the journey, taking a model from lab to production and making it repeatable, you know, getting automation into it and achieving the scale and the consistency and dependability that enterprises typically look for.
What are the benefits and of MLOps from your perspective, and ultimately, you know, what is MLOps designed to do for an organization and their data strategy?
The goal, you know, the intent of MLOps is to simplify the process of, you know, getting you from the lab to getting you into the production and seeing the value, right? And that's the core objective of having a framework and a process in place. So if you really look at it, if you want to kind of split it out from a benefit standpoint, the first aspect of it is, you know, having a very well-defined path from point A to point B, that is from lab to production. That's more of a process thing, right? So if you have the path already defined, that would help ensure that more of your initiatives, you know, see the daylight. The second aspect of it is, you know, having some standards defined. So that would ensure, you know, the different actors that you have within this process. It could be a data scientist, it could be your technology partners. So they are all speaking the same language, they're using the same kind of tools. So that is the second aspect of it, is, you know, definition of standards. And this kind of leads to the benefits, you know, where you're looking at speed, you know, being able to automate and, you know, getting in repeatability and scale and consistency. So having an MLOps framework, if you have the right process, right standards defined, and you have identified the right actors, it is going to, you know, give you that speed, that repeatability and scale that, you know, typically enterprises are looking for.
Where does an organization start then? You know, how do you introduce MLOps to an organization, or how does an organization go about introducing it within?
That certainly is a question which is pretty subjective to where an organization is, you know, in the journey and the maturity curve, right? But yeah. But I think the core to MLOps is you know, recognizing that it's a journey and not a destination, and focusing on the intent of MLOps than, you know, than the other aspects of the tools, the technology or automation. So that's, you know, where I would probably start and say, hey. You know, for our partners, when we engage with them, we kind of, you know, reiterate the goal of having MLOps and not necessarily just, you know, getting into it as an initiative itself, right? So that's where typically we start and say, hey, let's look at the process. Let's optimize the process as a second step. Let's first establish a process that could take you from point A to point B. And once you start maturing the process, the tools would, you know, fall in place and organically figure out, you know, what tools lend itself well for your organization. But the goal is to, you know, not lose your focus on the intent of simplifying the process and not necessarily, you know, taking up another initiative which is complex in itself. So as of, you know, where you start, it's more on the maturity curve. If you have a DevOps process in place today, and, you know, that's something that you could certainly lean on and kind of, you know, use that as a springboard. But yeah, you know, it's more about process and making sure, you know, you focus on the goals of deriving the business value from your ML initiatives.
As these organizations are adopting, and, you know, definitely agree, sometimes it depends on the maturity curve and things like that. But what are some of the specific challenges that organizations undergo as they attempt to adopt MLOps?
Typically, we talk about people, process, and technology, right? When we talk about you know, these initiatives, and more often than not, you know, you could establish a process, you could, you know, buy the tools, but the biggest challenge is, depending on the organizational setup, you know, you will see, at least in our experience, when tech, you know, has engaged with multiple customers, the data science world, you know, lives between the border of a business and IT. And the challenge is, it's not necessarily centralized. And when you talk about standardizing business, standardizing processes, standardizing tools, you need to work with the stakeholders and onboard them into this common platform and common theme of, you know, using the same set of protocols. And that is one of the biggest challenges in, you know, ML adoptions, is how do I really get a buy-in from all these different stakeholders and you know, get them onboarded into a, you know, a journey which, you know, dictates and, you know, and says, hey, this is how you need to do your work, right? So that's one of the biggest challenges that we see in you know, trying to onboard this initiative and you know, see more adoption around it. But we do kind of also recommend that start, you know, small. The goal is to think big, you know, but act fast, right? Pick up smaller things and, you know, go through it. But if you start too wide, it becomes challenging to manage all the different aspects of, you know, the organizational structure, if you will.
So I love that, you know, the start small recommendation. Any other best practices to consider for MLOps?
So I would reiterate that, you know, MLOps is essentially, you know, more of a, you know, journey than destination. So don't forget the intent. Yeah. I would say, you know, that's the number one, you know, thing that, you know, typically we kind of focus on. The second aspect of it is, you know, establish a process that would help you, you know, go from lab to production. Don't worry about the tools, you know, focus on the process and make sure you have a very clear defined path, you know, when you take a problem statement, how do you go from lab to production? So that path has to be very well defined, irrespective of tool or technology. Last but not the least is data itself. You know, don't forget that data is part of the ML journey, whether you are training your model, whether you're testing it, whether you are validating it for, you know, accuracy, or whether you are again going through the entire, you know, cycle of retraining and testing. Data is integral part of your ML journey. And if you make, you know, data, you know, to be available at the right time for the right people to access and make it part of your process, your journey is so much smoother. So those would be the three things that I would probably say, you know, people need to focus on when you look at MLOps.
What are some real world examples of how MLOps has demonstrated value for organizations? Or, you know, is there any one industry that seems to be applying MLOps better than others?
From an industry perspective, and that's pretty natural, you know, there are organizations which are born digital, if you will, like e-commerce platforms, right? Media platforms, they are on online and they have access to data, and, you know, their business is all about, you know, being online. So they certainly are the leaders when it comes to adopting ML, if you will. But if you on the hindsight, you know, we see a lot of healthcare customers and, you know, tech healthcare customers adopting. And I'll, you know, maybe quickly, you know, walk you through one of the use cases where we worked with one of our healthcare peers, right? And they were trying to automate their pre-auth process, where, you know, there you get applications and you want to run through the pre-authorization. One of the challenges is, you know, there's a lot of load and there are SLAs that you need to adhere to from a pre-auth standpoint. And in the process itself, end-to-end, you know, takes at least a day or two to kind of go through, right? And people kind of, and the volumes are pretty high too. So the customer wanted us to engage and bring in this automation as well as AI into picture, try to train models which could, you know, flag off authorizations automatically, right? It was a great problem statement, but then we realized it was not an easier one to kind of achieve, because the data needed, you know, to train an ML model to do that was humongous. And we figured out today the way they acquired data was through PDFs. You know, the requests used to come in various different forms, and that itself was not digitized. And one of the things that we did is we said, hey, let's solve the smaller problem of digitizing your information using ML. And acquiring the data first as step one and see what the value is. And we figured out that the value of just automating the step of, you know, digitizing the information and getting the data and make it available for decision making in itself was, you know, pretty valuable. And that's where, you know, if you really look at it, if you can have the right problem statement and the value definitions in place, and if you could, you know, start small, and make it more iterative, you will see a lot of value in adopting, you know, machine learning. And most of these machine learning initiatives then could fund, you know, other initiatives, if you will. So that's, you know, a very quick blurb on, you know, how we kind of, you know, partnered with one of the healthcare customers in their journey, which is more iterative. And, you know, we kind of made it more self-funding, if you will.
Well, Ramesh, thanks so much for joining the show. For those listening, what's the best way for them to keep up with what you and Tech Systems are doing in this space?
Well, I think the best way is to, you know, follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter. So we are pretty active and we have a very huge social community out there. We, you know, post a lot of good information out there. So the best way would be to follow us there and, you know, get more information about us.
Wonderful. Well, again, I'd like to thank Ramesh Viswanathan from Tech Systems for joining the show. Learn more about Tech Systems and their perspective at techsystems.com. I'm Greg Kilstrom. Thanks for listening to The Agile World. See you next week.
Thanks again for listening to The Agile World podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can learn more and get a copy of my latest book, The Agile Workforce, from my website at theagile.world.